Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
It's the Mark Order Podcast coming your way live. Last week we were influencers, streamers galore, and it's the same this week, Joe. Okay, we're gonna ask you to subscribe, we're gonna ask you to tap that bell for notifications, we're gonna ask you to smash the like button, but we're gonna talk about some AEW Dynamite. Ryan is a grind runner this week. And he is, he's at a work function. So you might be thinking like, oh no, he's not running from the grind. He's grinding at his other grind. But I don't know why he would rather grind up on all of his coworkers than us. I just feel like that's kind of insulting.
That sounds like an HR problem.
It kind of does sound like an HR problem.
Can't freeze up. Maybe. We're gonna see. Is the attack of Kate's internet? Well, it looks like Kate's internet might have froze up, unless it's me, but you can let me know in the chat if it's Kate. Her photo is frozen on my screen. Yes, Ryan is big-timing us again this week. Every now and then he does. He acts like he's busy. So, Scott George, I agree. We don't need Ryan. He just kind of gets in the way. All of his little shenanigans and whatnot. Just makes the show go a lot longer when he's here, you know? So, but thank you, Scott, for joining us. Big G, Kylie. Couldn't agree more. The Heyman Swerve stuff that they've been kind of sprinkling in has been really interesting, and to see how that's going to play out maybe Sunday. So we'll be talking about that, I am sure. Lord Kev, how you doing? Thank you. Yes, always smash the like button. Always subscribe. The bell for notifications. All those things that the cool people say to do on streams. But hello, Big G again. Taylor Cannon, hello. I'm just going to kind of fill some time while we deal with Kate's internet, because, you know, what would a podcast be if Kate's internet didn't decide to crap out a little bit? Jesse Ozard, welcome, buddy. I'm going to wait for you now since Kate got booted off due to her connection or something. So I'm just going to vamp a little bit and kill some time. So hopefully everyone had a good week. What's everyone's excitement level going into Dynasty? You feel like we have a good build going into Dynasty this weekend? And yes, Jesse, you can feel free to talk as much crap on Ryan as you want to right now. In fact, I encourage it in the chat. So feel free to dump on Ryan in the chat. Kylie, I did see the little news about the Nintendo Switch 2. I saw the bundle with the Mario Kart game for like $500, I think. Seems like a lot of money for a Switch, but we'll see. True LT Photo, hello. Thanks for coming in, joining us, Corey Michaels. I don't know what Ryan did either, but apparently he thought maybe if he couldn't join, then he would sabotage Kate and her internet, because she was here for a hot minute. So who knows? I'm just going to keep kind of BSing my way here until hopefully Kate can join back on. And here she is.
Are we so back? My setup's been so good lately. Curses.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back. We're just ushering in the crowd of our usual suspects in the chat, and people talking about Dynasty, crapping on Ryan, you know, all the usual stuff, right?
All the good stuff. All the good stuff. Hi, Jesse Ozog. And Corey and Kylie and Scott George and 2LT Photo. Taylor, of course, the GOAT, but how are you, Joe? My internet kicked me out before I could even ask.
I'm doing well. My internet's pretty strong, so I'm here. Another good Wednesday. Just to hang out with you and not have to be worried about Ryan interjecting his puns or songs or shenanigans.
It's a beautiful day when that's the case. It's a beautiful day when that's the case. I'm just also going to shut down some background tasks that I have going on here. Bear with me, guys. Sorry. I'm just trying to make sure that we stay alive, that we stay alive here. I'm going to be at Dynasty, not to brag, but Ryan will also be at Dynasty. So I will have to deal with him in person. So I feel like this is like, this is my good karma. And then the bad karma is going to swing back around on Sunday. But I'm excited. I'm excited for the show. Because it's had a pretty good build. Today was kind of go homey, but still a pretty decent episode, I thought, kind of overall. What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty fun overall. I thought the show had a little bit of something for everyone, whether it's, you know, front loading the card with the women's matches. You know, we had the mixed tag, we had the meat match, we had a couple little promos to build the matches, we had you know, our athletic aerial match with, you know, Kenny and Kevin. We just had a lot of variety in the show, so I thought it was good for a go-home show, and it didn't have too many of the usual, you know, no finish or
pull apart brawl, melee, pull apart brawl, yeah.
No, I thought we did a good job of kind of avoiding some of those tropes.
We've gotten some better go-homes of late, and I think part of it is that there's just been more of a focus on in-ring action. Like, even people that are on the pay-per-view are still fighting on Wednesdays, including, like, champions. That's a really refreshing thing to kind of have rocking and rolling. So we'll get into all of that in a little bit. Are you in short sleeves over there? You're just chilling?
I am. Yeah.
Is it not nasty where you are? It's nice out? Or you're just indoors, so it's chill?
I am indoors, but it's like 50.
Okay, not bad. Not bad.
15 overcast.
I'll take that. It was probably about the same here, but it was like windy and gross. So it didn't feel that way, but is what it is. Oh my gosh. Your birthday's in an hour and a half. Plus a few. Hell yeah. We'll celebrate. We're going to celebrate. But assuming my jankety internet makes it that way. But there's not a lot to talk about on like the news front, Joe. We are going into a pay-per-view, but unfortunately, everybody hates AEW. I don't know if you know this, but Rob Van Dam hates it. Bret Hart hates it. It's not really wrestling. Everybody's pretending. As someone who does this show on a weekly basis, do you hate AEW?
I hate myself, so I guess so.
Okay. Oh my gosh, so you are AEW.
I just don't.
Self-loathing.
We talk about how it's dumb to be tribalistic for fans when it comes to wrestling. But then when you have, you know, talent and former wrestlers also being so tribalistic, so, I mean, it's not exactly setting the example of a pro wrestling community. Is Kate still there?
I'm still liggity-laggity. I'm here.
A little bit loud.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Can you see me?
I can.
All right. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. I agree with the point that I think you were making, which I kind of give a pass with Brett because he's been beating that drum since forever. He's like, I hate Bill Goldberg and I hate this other way of doing things. He's like, there's a right way to do things that it's this way. And I don't love it, but like he's been pretty consistent in that. It feels like he hasn't watched wrestling in a good 3 to 6 months. If he feels like the WWE product is still being driven by really intensely great stories when everything is finishing there in a DQ and a distraction and it's rematch central again, like as far as people playing wrestler, like I feel like WWE has taken a sharp turn in that direction. But he's kind of been saying that for a long time. RVD's thing, a lot of people pointed out, he was like, the Moxley spot makes me not want to wrestle there because I don't view that as wrestling. And a lot of people pointed out, well, like, you worked for ECW, man. And his response was like, ECW was a buffet of styles. And I was like, well, AEW's not a deathmatch promotion. Like, not everybody is doing that. There's people that work within AEW that hate that style of wrestling. So my thing was like, well, nobody's asking you to do a deathmatch spot, RVD. Like, we're good on that. Nobody wants to see that. So I don't know. I don't care. But it's just, it's a shame that AEW is so terrible that you and I have to review it every week. You know what I mean? That's what it is.
I mean, it's not ROH. I mean, it could be ROH.
Oh, no. I quit that already. No. I quit that post show already. But why don't we go into a commercial break right now? I'll see if there's any more adjustments I can make to get my internet on track so it doesn't crash out like the internet tends to do, like from an IWC standpoint. I don't want my actual internet service also crashing out. Maybe that's why I have so many disruptions. It's just people being weird on Twitter. But we'll go to a commercial break. It's a commercial block that is all about the other great shows on the Shining Wizards Network. So be sure to check those out. The first Monday of every month, I am on the Shining Wizards for Kate's Corner. We just kind of review whatever the biggest topic in wrestling is and talk it through and give some perspectives as to where we're at. So if we're doing that this Monday, it'll be kind of fun because I will have just come home from Dynasty. So learn about some of the other great shows on the Shining Wizards Network. We're going to hope that my internet holds up. Otherwise, we're going to have a very quick show for you today, but we'll be right back.
We'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in every Monday night to listen to the Shining Wizards. If you'd like to continue to support us outside of listening, we've got a few ways for you to do that. If you shop at Amazon, go over to amazon.shiningwizards.com, do your shopping as usual, and when you make your purchase, a little bit of that purchase price will go back to support the show. If you like to wear t-shirts, merch.shiningwizards.com will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, where we've got over a dozen great designs from over 11 years of professional wrestling podcasting. You can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast, where each and every week we call out your name as one of our show producers, and the more you support us, the more things that you're entitled to receive, and believe me, they are fantastic. If you can't support us monetarily, if you don't shop at Amazon, that's absolutely fine. Continue to listen to us wherever you listen to us on the World Wide Web, and make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Doesn't cost you anything, helps us out, and we can continue to bring you the love fest that is the Shining Wizards.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones, too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcast, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
I'm Kevin Rogue.
I'm Al Day.
And we're a couple of down-under pounders that co-host Rogue Day Dots, an action figure collecting podcast where we talk about, well, just about anything that tickles our fancy at any given moment.
We're grumpy old men, and sometimes people get on our nerves. And when you get on our nerves, guess what? You get off the lawn.
Get off my lawn, asshole! We also go on a little bit of a mission. We go back and we're grading every wrestling figure line that's out there. I'm talking LJNs. I'm talking Jacks. I'm talking Hasbros. Who doesn't like a little Hulkaplex? It's a Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production found on the Shining Wizards Network.
I'm Duke Bags.
Kevin Rogue.
And together we are the co-hosts of your Duke and Rogue. If you want to hear about some terrible wrestling shows, we got you covered.
Well, we talk about good ones, too.
We're currently talking about the death of WCW.
I know what we're fucking talking about! Sometimes we get guest spots, like from the Taskmaster. I like to listen to the Year of Duke and Rogue podcast. They're funny guys. That I like when they talk about the Narch plows. I like Narch plows. That's a good move. And I like the Dungeon of Doom. You know, sometimes I call my butt the Dungeon of Doom. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Oklahoma.
Let me tell you a little bit about my favorite wrestling podcast. All right. A podcast with two men, Duke Bags, Kevin Rogue. They talk about professional wrestling. It's a man's sport, all right? And who better to talk about a man's sport than Duke Bags? Oklahoma.
And once in a while, Vince Russo stops by.
Oh, you piece of shit! If you're not listening, you're a Duke and Rogue podcast in the back with the boys. Piece of shit, I don't know what you're doing.
It's, you got a slight one in there?
If you're a man, you're talking about something only a man can do. You're talking about slight one in there. Bro, take the time to slide one in there. All right, bro, you piece of shit. Slide one in there. A Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production that you can find on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, hello.
Hello. Hopefully your internet's working.
Oh, no. Can you hear me? Because I can't hear you. Disaster is striking.
I can hear you.
I heard the commercial break.
Hmm.
But I cannot hear you. That's
uh-oh.
So weird. What about now? Can I hear you now?
I don't know. Can you?
Why can't I hear Joe, guys?
I don't know. Jess can hear me.
Maybe we'll do a silent podcast, like a silent movie. Yeah. All right. I'm going to go away. I'm going to come back. We're going to make it through this episode. But Joe, why don't you kick it off with some talk of the Owen tournament? Because that's what I was going to kick off with. First match of matches, Ospreay, Kevin Knight, Brody King and Takeshita. Mark Briscoe versus Kyle Fletcher and Adam Page versus a wild card. And hopefully I'll be back to talk about the women's one. And I'll be back so fast. I
hope. Right on. Let's talk some Owen. So the bracket got released, as Kate mentioned. We get Will Ospreay and Kevin Knight with that first round matchup at Dynasty. I think that should be a fun match. I like the fact that they teamed him up tonight. They've been building Kevin up a little bit. So it'd be interesting to see if he wins. I wouldn't be surprised. Big G, I'm not surprised MJF isn't in it. I think they're kind of keeping him busy with the Hurt Syndicate things. So Brody and Takeshita, unfortunately, I just think Brody's going to eat that loss. I feel like that's what he does in these tournaments. And then, you know, you can't have a tournament without Mark Briscoe. I think you're mandatory to have Mark Briscoe in a tournament. But let's see if Kate can hear me now.
I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
I can.
Can you see me?
I can.
Oh my God. Worlds are coming together. I think what happened is that Ryan's not here, so this is like his spirit and his way of being a scotch. That's what I think, but
his spirit is an a-hole then.
Exactly.
I'm just kind of running down the first round. I was just talking about how, we can't have a tournament without Mark Briscoe in it.
So. Of course. Do you have like a dream finals?
Looking at the card here.
I'm genuinely so bummed about Jay White. So he got attacked. But he's for real, he's injured, and it sounds like he's going to need surgery. That dude's had a rough go, but as you were.
You said dream final?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would like to kind of see Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher.
Okay, that's a fun way to go about business.
Yeah.
So much of this for me is like who ends up winning on Sunday. Because if Swerve wins, Hangman is certainly an aspect to it. If Mox wins, gosh, it could be a lot of these guys. But I feel like to me, it probably goes, man, they could do some fun shit. Like if Josh Alexander is the wild card, it would be cool to see him advance. But like, I can't imagine it not including Will Ospreay. Especially with Forbidden Door being around the corner. Like, I feel like it's his probably his time. Him and Mox would be a super fun program to run. Him and Swerve have history already, and their matchup Forbidden Door was insane. So I kind of like both of those possibilities. I'm not mad about Takeshita getting a title shot. My only thing is he is the most employed wrestler under the sun, and he will probably work the G1 this year. So I don't think you want him to do this without winning. Because you don't want him to be like a perpetual loser of stuff. So I would love to get to, that's a really fun idea. Like, that's a really fun way to get to Takeshita and Fletcher, because I don't want them to drop the ball with Kyle Fletcher either. Like, he makes it really hard just because he's so fucking good. And he's still on TV a bunch, but like, he should be, I want him and Danny Garcia to be rivals forever.
But yeah, I think, like you said, if Swerve wins, then I could see Heyman winning the Owen.
Sure. So. Sure. I think that when I look at this roster and I look at the brackets on both the men's and the women's side, I'm like, how did this product get off track ever? This roster is disgusting. Like, this is filthy. And then in a different card, you have Kenny Omega and Okada headed for each other. Like, this roster is gross. It's so good. So
I feel like when you have, you know, ADHD and you have so many things in one umbrella. I know it's hard. I know. That's why I threw it out there. but I can see how you can get sidetracked by, like, there's just so many pieces in this company that you can at your disposal that, you know, you're over here for one moment and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I forgot, I've neglected this other talent for the last 2 weeks. I need to go back into that story or use them more. It's just, yeah.
It's true. There is an embarrassment of riches there, but I am like, okay, so why are Chris Jericho and Jeff Jarrett on screen at all? And now they're on screen very minimally. So I'm all for that. Like, anytime AEW gets off track, I'm like, one, you're trying to be Diet WWE, and two, usually the answer is like, you need to just have them wrestle more, which is so funny because it's where the best wrestle, right? So let's do it. But let's flip over to the women's side. You have Jamie Hayter versus Billy Starks. You have Thunder Rosa versus Chris Statlander, which is good that they're paying that off because that got teased. You have Julia Hart versus Mercedes Moné. And you have Harley Cameron versus Athena, which I think is really smart because I think Athena's going to get ultra heat from beating the ever-living dog shit out of Harley Cameron. Like, I think that's going to be a really good way because everyone's in love with Harley. You had some interesting interactions between Mercedes and Harley tonight. This one feels more open. I really wish this was a 16-person tournament on both sides this year. Like, really? They might want to not run something that robust when they have the C2 at the end of the year. Like, that might just feel like we're trying to be New Japan a little bit too hard. But my dream finals are, I mean, Athena Mercedes is certainly, like, top of the bill. It feels like they can't do that because they're on the same side of the bracket. So they'll probably meet at in Boston, I think. There's a Dynamite that's in Boston on the way here. I think it's very clever to do that match when neither title is on the line because I feel like it could benefit both. But like Billy being on the other side of this makes me think Athena's losing. I would love for the finals to be Thunder Rosa and Mercedes. I would not hate Chris Statlander versus Mercedes either. That would be super, super, super fun. I wouldn't hate Jamie Hayter versus Mercedes. I want Thunder Rosa because All In's in Texas. And like, I feel like she's been on screen consistently, but when she was like the hottest free agent and first came in, she was so, so over. And I feel like she's been kind of just like floating around and doing great work in the process. So her getting like a major match, I think, would be really special. Jamie Hayter feels like she's been evading the title. Like it's weird that she came back from such a long injury and didn't go after the title. So it would be cool to see her advance as well. I'm just looking at this like, is it going to be Mercedes or is it going to be Athena? Mercedes being such a belt collector as opposed to longest reign like Athena leads me to think it's going to be Mercedes in the finals, whether she wins or not. I don't know. Like if they're going to be that ballsy, we just saw on NXT how bad double reigns can go when you treat them poorly, but Athena Rosa could be super fun too. And an all Texas finals could be really, really cool. What are you thinking? I feel like the women's one, I'm like, man, again, just kind of an embarrassment of riches over here.
Yeah. The right side of the bracket, I think he had Mercedes come out of it. I think maybe distracts or causes Athena maybe to get upset against Harley. With Harley and Mercedes' relationship right now, kind of, you know, frenemies. And then all the build of Mercedes and Athena that's going online. I think that's, like you said, going to probably lead to something bigger. I wouldn't be mad at Thunder Rosa. I think they've done a really nice job of getting her back up into the spotlight of the division again with her involvement with a lot of stories. And I know it might be too soon, but I wouldn't hate Billy coming back around and one-upping Mercedes in the final.
Ooh, okay. I'm not mad about it. I'm not mad about it. I mean, my ROH heart is broken about it, but sure. I really think this calls for a 16-person field next year because the roster depth is just disgusting, as we said earlier. So we'll see. We'll see. Soon-to-be birthday boy, Mr. Lieutenant Photo over there, saying Megan just squashed Thunder. I agree. I think tournaments are actually a really good opportunity to build someone back up, though. I think that could be a good thing. I think it could. Am I all jaggedy again?
Nope. You're good.
It was so good there for a second.
Nope, you're good.
There's one more thing I can close down that's a big bandwidth eater, so let's see if that helps. Though I think it's my internet and not my storage, but we're going to get through it. So let's dive in. Let's just run through because everything is so janky. Let's go super speed. We'll talk Willow and Swerve defeating Moxley and Marina, and then post-match, you have Moxley hitting the paradigm shift on Willow. You had Marina taking a bullet for Moxley in here and eating the house call. I thought it was really cool that they didn't do intergender wrestling. This was still a mixed tag match. But they got some spots in that were used appropriately, like Marina guarding Mox, Willow just being so likable, and Mox delivering the paradigm shift on her was really, really good. So I liked what we got in this opener. I thought this was a clever way to help build to the Swerve Moxley match. A lot more happens in this episode with Swerve, and we're going to talk about it. But let's stick with the opener for now, and then we'll kind of speed to the end. What did you think of how we opened the show?
Yeah, I liked the opener. I want all mixed tag matches to be tornado tags. I think that just feels better with mixed tag matches. So
I agree.
That way, that, you know, you don't have that awkward have to tag in, tag out. You know, for the man, the male competitors and the female competitors. And I thought the women really shined in this opener with, like, you called out Marina's work of her putting herself out there, sacrificing herself, yelling at Moxley to do it in the match while Swerve had her held up, and then you know, later on taking the house call for Mox. I thought that was really telling that she went to the stream where Mox wouldn't, or Mox, you know, let go of Willow to save Marina. So I thought that was interesting.
Look, if somebody says they're going to feed their own liver to someone, I'm probably going to try and stay on their good side. You know what I mean? I think you just want you just want it to be okay. But some good stuff later in the episode here. We get Renee trying to get an update on Willow from Swerve, and Swerve saying he's focused on Mox. He puts over Willow as being tough and good, like two things that you want in your baby faces. But Hangman confronts him backstage. Swerve basically throws him for the wildest loop and says that he deserved to have his house burned down. And all of a sudden, Hangman's like in this hatred trance and walks away. And then the Death Riders attack Swerve. Marina has her arm in a sling. And the Death Riders drag Swerve around the ring and drop him back first onto the glass. But Swerve still gets up and stares down Mox. This was all really, really, really excellent stuff. Everybody is saying strap up Swerve, like everybody. And I don't think they're going to do it, which sucks. But I do think This is the best feud of his reign in maybe ever, certainly by miles. I think this was really, really well built. I think the right people were in place. It's nice to see Marina get in the fucking ring finally. What did you think about the rest of this through line?
Marina in the ring with shoes on. That's
yeah. Sure. You saw Mike Bailey with shoes last week. Maybe people are like, these mats are grody. I don't know.
The end of the show, I thought they executed that well. I like the fact that you got the Death Riders beat down on Swerve like you would kind of think would happen. But you got to see Swerve come out of that strong with him kind of no-selling Undertaker sit up in the glass rubble to show like how psychotic he can get beyond Mox's level. So I thought that was really good for both of those sides. And the Heyman Swerve interaction was fun because they've been kind of sprinkling that along. And I think that just kind of maybe goes to more of Heyman getting, might be making an appearance during that match Sunday.
I think that's very possible.
And I like the fact that they both now are taking accountability for their actions. You know, they're trying to heal and trying to, even though it's easier to hate one another, they're trying to find a way to respect one another now, I guess.
I think part of, I love how thrown off Hangman was because it's like, he's trying to go on a redemption arc. We know that. And like him not being able to get to the punch before Swerve takes accountability, like kind of did something to him. And like, man, Hangman was a really, really, really strong babyface. This is, to me, as a wrestling fan, stratospheres above what he was doing. And I liked him as a babyface. I actually really liked his feud with Mox. I think it's super underrated. And I know it got thrown off because of the very real in-ring concussion that he got in the ring where he was lariated and just over-rotated and knocked himself out. But like some people forget about like how pivotal that I'm angry, the meds aren't working, but I'm still here thing like was to him as a character, in my opinion. Mox was saying he's not a real man for that. Like, there's some really, really good stuff that has transpired to lead to this version of Hangman. And he's like a face in waiting. You know what I mean? Like he's already a face to the crowd. And we're already rooting for him. But what's so unique about it to wrestling is it's like, it's kind of before he's done the things that turn you face. Like it's kind of before he's made good for all the wrongs that he has done. And I kind of love that we're rooting for him to go in that direction as much as anything. Like there's something really unique about this particular face turn of that. Like he apologized, so now we like him. It's like, we really hope he apologizes because we already like him. Like that, you don't get that a lot. And I think it speaks to the execution of everything he's had. So I'm with you there. I am with you there. Guys, my internet seems to be at least a little bit stable at this moment. So we're going to take advantage and we're going to keep plowing through this episode of Dynamite. But please do leave a thumbs up. Please do subscribe to this YouTube channel. That helps us out a whole lot if you would be so kind to subscribe to us here at the Mark Order Podcast. We are here every Wednesday night talking some AEW Dynamite. Usually Ryan's here, unfortunately. But tonight, it's just me and Joe. I don't know. We kind of stopped doing prediction shows. It might be fun to do one for Dynasty, just because I feel like there's some hot things on this. But we'll see what we can get to you guys. But we appreciate you following along, hanging out with us. Please keep chatting. Joe will be able to read your chats. I'm sure my internet will shit out at some point, but he's there for you. My internet is not. But let's keep working through this episode. We have Dax Harwood backstage. This was a really interesting thing that happened, too. Dax is backstage, and he gives Paul Turner, the referee, $10,000 for putting his hands on him on Collision in the heat of the moment. And I like that Paul Turner was like, it's the heat of the moment. You're paying me $10,000 directly. I'm not mad about this. But he tries to apologize to Cash Wheeler and calls him by his shoot name. But Cash kind of says, we'll be good Sunday. We're going to team with Cope and we're going to win those titles, but we have to talk after that. And I like this this version of Dax isn't something we've seen before, where he's just like immediately controlling the emotions that got ahead of him. Like we've all had those moments where we've done something that felt really bad about it right away, or like know that somebody got caught in a line of fire that they weren't really a part of, but I was just in a shit mood and I took it out on them. And I like that Dax is having trouble controlling this. And part of why he's having trouble controlling it is because he's gold hungry again. Like, he feels lost. He feels like he doesn't really have a purpose right now because they've lost opportunities at gold multiple times now. So he's kind of like, it's not a midlife crisis per se, but it kind of has those shades to it. And I like this. And I feel like Cash Wheeler is better than he gets credit for it at stuff like this. He was really solid in this. If I piss you off, will you give me 10 grand?
No. I don't have 10 grand in cash on me.
Next week? I'll take an IOU.
I mean, I could give you a pair of shoes.
Boo, oh, Omaha. Yeah. Boo. Boo, Nebraska. Yeah. Boo, college football and hoops. Boo. Oh.
You still boo the College World Series.
Boo the College World Series. Boo it all. Hear you. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. Can I have 10 grand?
Western Union. yeah, I'm really curious to see what they do with this whole Dax thing and the FTR. Dax kind of acting like this, like he has the emotions in check, but really I feel you feel like it's just a cover, and everything's very insincere feeling. But at the same time, we wonder if it's going to be a joint heel turn of FTR on Cope.
I'm intrigued by that too, because I do find it suspicious that the patriarchy and rated FTR are kind of fizzling out at the same time. And I think you want that tandem to be heel, but it feels like maybe they think the crowd is going to love them too much when they're back together, if that's the direction they choose to go. But we'll see. I feel like they've genuinely intrigued me. I'm like, maybe they are just going to have a singles breather. Maybe one of them is like, I am beat the fuck up. I need to go home for 3 months and then whatever. Like, I think it's good. I like that it feels sincere enough that I could buy into the idea of them taking a break of some sort. But Joe, let's move along, because out comes the timeless one, Toni Storm, who takes on Penelope Ford, who I gotta say, like, she came back from a really long-term injury and she's looked as good as ever since coming back. Like, I don't know if she's ever gonna be like the mega breakout, but she plays the role that she's given very, very, very well. And I think the consistency in screen time is doing wonders for her. So I like that. You need women in the women's division like this who can jump into stories, make them better, give good matches. Like, you need somebody that's going to be as reliable as Penelope Ford has looked in coming back, outside of some weird chair spots early in these stories. But Toni Storm, of course, gets the win. Megan Bain comes out and mocks Toni Storm and is doing one of these, which is what I'll be doing to Ryan on Sunday with all of his puns, I'm sure. But what did you think of that match?
I'm with you on Penelope. I made a note of how I really thought her character work had been really solid in the ring, the way she plays in the crowd, the way she sells. And she does kind of fit that space, like you were talking about, where it's you need someone who might not be a title contender, but someone who can still be a threat, whether it's a Penelope, whether it's an Anna Jay, whether it's back when they had the bunny, like Jesse Ozog mentioned. Those kind of, for lack of a better word, mid-card type of match talent where they have the credential to be a solid threat and they can get the best matches out of people still.
Agreed. Some good stuff. And just I've said it for a while now, but I feel like I have to keep saying it because I harp on them when it goes to shit. The women's talent rotation, especially talent rotation across the board, has picked up significantly. and consistency has picked up significantly, but the women's division in particular, because it was like Penelope came back and then she was off screen and then what? Like we've seen that far too much, but we're having so many title adjacent stories going. It's really refreshing to see.
I will add that I desperately want Ryan to get like a Megan Bain headdress.
A Megasus head? Yes.
I really want Ryan to have one.
Hopefully it goes as well as his Sting face paint, because that was legendary. That was legendary, but we're moving along here, guys. Thank you so much for chatting along with us. Jesse Ozog is here. He's talking shit about Ryan as God intended, but One LT Photo is turning 21 in an hour from now. So just saying, hopefully we'll get to celebrate on air. But we did have an intermediate segment with Swerve that was very good too, in addition to what bookended the show, where he just says, like, you know what Willow's been through with her neck and you still chose to go after that? Like, nah, bro, that's not cool. And he promises that he's going to get his hands on Moxley by the end of the night. So forgot to weave that into our bookend there, but it was a nice through line. Swerve's just really good at stuff like that. Like it's very grounded and very sincere. This has been a much needed shot in the arm to Moxley's title reign, and I'm still rooting for it to end, which is sad. Like, I feel like this is the most on track it's been in months, and I'm still like, so, but you should strap up sword.
I had two things that I made notes of from this little, check-in segment with. One, apparently Peoria, Illinois must have like the smallest training room ever. It's like that.
Looks it.
But secondly, I'm very interested in how Renee sometimes plays off of, she'll be ultra professional and sometimes she'll be more ingested in herself into things, whether it's Mercedes stuff or whatever else. But like, I found it almost hard that she could be okay on camera with John, her husband, attacking Willow like that when he's her husband and the father of their daughter. I just felt like there could have been some kind of emotion or reaction, or like, I can't do this right now type of interview. I don't know. I feel like there could have been something going on.
That's fair. It is. They do a good job mostly of navigating that. You're right. Because it's like, everybody knows they're married in real life. It's been mentioned on screen before. But they don't go out of their way to constantly be like the wife of John Moxley, which is just A, nice from a representation standpoint, and B, necessary because Renee is so her own like integral part of the show. So you're not wrong with that at all.
Well, I think
my only counter is she just so used to it at this point? Yeah. Because this is just, he's just constantly doing it.
I think I was waiting for something, because once we're talking about like, I'm going to go after your husband tonight. Like,
yeah, he kind of was the one that needled it.
Yeah. So I thought maybe, you know, he would kind of like try to guilt Renee into some kind of emotion there.
Yeah. Get a rise out of her at least, but we're moving along. Let's talk about this Bobby Lashley and MVP promo. Lashley gets interrupted by MJF. And he tries to butter them up pretty well here. I love when he calls MVP Montel. He even like tweeted after the show, like, .. But Lashley just basically says he'll have none of it and tells him to leave the ring. MJF's like, all right. It's good business. You're making a mistake, but all right, man. I thought it was funny because Bobby Lashley was like, I have respect for MVP. I didn't even put together before that super minor flub, but like that, I was like, oh yeah, they're both M two other letters in all of this. But this has been such inspired work from MVP. And I like that since they've come into AEW and MVP started at Grand Slam of 2024, right? So it's been a minute. They've just been on the same page. So this is interesting because we talked about, like, this might open the door for other talent to come in to the Hurt Syndicate. This might cause some dissension that doesn't really break them up. But puts them in a weird spot. It might do weird things for their tag titles. Like, I like how much MVP last week is like, agree to disagree for now, though, because you got to go out there and do your match. And we just kind of keep moving along with this. We do get a Learning Tree match right after this, and the Learning Tree wins a quick squash, which I think they needed. But Big Bill and Brian Keith do interrupt, and they say they want them to sit there and watch the next match, which I thought was good because they needed some dominance there. And then after that, Big Bill gets on the mic and challenges Lashley and Shelton for the tag titles at Dynasty. Lashley stops MVP from answering, and they walk away. So that was kind of your Hurt Syndicate through line. They're doing a good job of weaving MJF and the Learning Tree adjacent to each other, but all tied up in the same package. Nice to see them weaving stories together with an incredible amount of clarity, because sometimes it gets messy. What did you think of all this?
Well, first of all, I'm a big fan of the suit game tonight. The pastels were popping on TV.
Beautiful.
I mean, it is, you know, Easter spring, season, baby. For those who celebrate spring.
Spring, baby.
So, yeah, I'm interested. I like the fact that they keep this going. I'm still intrigued by where this MJF thing is going with the Hurt Syndicate. As she just kind of left the ring, agreeable for the most part, just kind of left. And then Big Bill and Brian Keith, I almost would have preferred them have a squash match the first week, last week, and then have a win over Top Flight this week to build them up a little bit more.
Sure.
That's it. Are they going to win? No. But at least they give the Hurt Syndicate some, a decent threat maybe with the size of Big Bill.
Yeah, I agree. A couple of more squashes would have gone their way. I think MVP really flattened him on the mic last week. Like, and I don't think it was like, I don't think he was like shooting or any bullshit like that. I think he just saw opportunities and took them. And like, if you throw a wrestling manager a softball, they have to knock it down. And that just happened a couple times, partly because of the presentation of the Learning Tree. So I actually really like this idea because I think, like, the Learning Tree has been kind of fizzling for a bit, and I think this probably is them not being able to prove it to Jericho. So hopefully that leads to them breaking up for this kind of, like, spring into summer run. Because I think most people are done so with that. So Renee is backstage again, and she informs Mercedes Moné that she's going to team up with Harley Cameron this Saturday and face Julia Hart on Sunday. Harley Cameron and Mercedes, the puppet version, enter the frame, and Mercedes says, "Nar!" She doesn't want to do this. There's a, from my understanding, extremely false, but a funny perception either way, that like Mercedes is in control of her own booking and that Mercedes makes these creative decisions and that she'll only be champ and she books however she wants to book. And it's so funny to me because I'm like, well, fucking keep letting her because she's great. And also she's willing to work Saturdays going into pay-per-views. Like, good for her, man. Because like, this is two collisions in a row now that she's going to be on. And I just think that I think AEW drums up hype going into pay-per-views through wrestling in the ring. And even though this match with Harley isn't going to do a ton, it's going to be so much fucking fun. And I think it's going to be great. And hopefully the puppet is there. So I'm very encouraged by the fact that she's showing up on Collision. I'm glad that they give a shit about Collision. But like, this is what you paid her millions of dollars for, is exactly this. Is this type of title reign, this kind of quality, this kind of elevation for younger talent. Like, Julia Hart is going to be facing her. That's incredible. So I really, really like it. I really, really like that they've gone in that direction. And good for her, just for showing up everywhere. And I also, the gnar cracks me up as much as Harley cracks me up coming into all of these. I know what you're thinking. fantastic or whatever she said. What a riot.
I'm just happy that we get to see Athena on AEW television. Who knew?
Amen. Amen to that. I said I missed the puppet the other day, and I think they just heard me and chose to answer my prayer. So I'm glad she's back. I'm glad she's back. I wonder if Harley Graham will also be there Saturday. We will find out. But hey, Will Ospreay and Kevin Knight are a fun little duo. They face Blake Christian and Lee Johnson. It was announced that Jay White is injured. Unfortunately, that is a shoot that's going to require surgery. So Kevin Knight is taking his place, which I think is fantastic. This sets up Knight and Ospreay that are, they'll be facing each other at Dynasty, which I can't imagine is not just going to be an excellent match as a part of the Owen. This was a fun little tag match. Blake Christian and Lee Johnson are now a thing. I don't know why Lee J is not, except for the fact that they just don't give a shit about ROH, but I can't keep doing that to myself anymore, Joe. I just can't. But love that they said, all right, Kevin Knight, time to step up in this role right now, and you get to face Will Ospreay. Like, they got so much better at how they bring talent into the company of late. Speedball already being made to feel like a big deal. I'm guessing that wild card is Josh Alexander. So what did you think of this tag match, and how do you feel about Kevin Knight and Ospreay at the Pape?
Looking forward to that. I think that has one of those, maybe those one of those steal the show type of matches, knowing, the type of wrestlers they are. I thought they've done a really nice job of introducing, Knight into AEW recently and making him feel like a big deal, like you said, kind of thrusting him with Ospreay I would love to see if he can win. I would hate to have him lose this first big match. But it was a fun match tonight to watch. I like the fact you kind of see that he can kind of go toe-to-toe with Ospreay and do what he does. Their little stereo dives on over the turnbuckle was fun. So.
Super fun. I think if you let him have like the match of his life kind of loss, and you have Ospreay do the hold your hand up and point thing, like that's a good way to go about business of like, he's going to lose, but he's going to look really great in the process. Like, just make sure you give it the time and the caliber of match it can be. Cause I'll say this, there's a lot less people I think that are familiar with Kevin Knight than maybe are familiar with the Speedball or some other free agents that they brought in. So like, let us warm up to him. Like if we're not familiar with his work. Right. So good stuff. But nothing's better stuff than Samoa Joe. There just isn't. He's like, I'm here, probably wondering what this little trio is all about. You're probably wondering why I've assembled this group of fellas. They just want to throw hands. They're going to throw hands with someone at AEW Dynasty. Probably going to be a pre-show match, maybe for a contendership for the trio's titles, or maybe they'll throw hands after the trios match. But congrats to Samoa Joe. Twisted Metal, I think, is out again or going to be out very soon. There was a picture of him and his creepy-ass clown thing online. So I think that means he's coming back. But, like, he's just – I don't know if he's the best big man to ever do it. But if you told me I think he's the best big man to ever do it, I'm not going to argue with you kind of thing. Like, he has just been, for 25 years, one of the most consistent, menacing, badass big dudes that there is. And his promo style, because I feel like big men are either like you get a manager or you're like, ah, aggression. Him just being this constantly cool, calm, collected character that's out to fuck you up. The ease with which he has that is unrepeatable. It's so awesome. So I loved it. What did you think?
I'm glad we got a little explanation of why the ops came to me.
After it is the most random trio of dudes.
That's like a month and a half later. But yeah, I didn't know what his message meant. I'm like, they're gonna be hanging around watching, and in case someone slips up, they're going to beat them down. So, yeah, who knows? But I do want to see them in a trio title picture sooner than later.
I agree. I want there to just be a trio's title picture, honestly. Like, nice. It would be nice if these... I can't imagine being like, you know what we should do with Pac, Claudio, and Wheeler Yuta? Not have them wrestle that often. What? Fucking what? I do just want to make a note. I thought that commentary was exceptionally bad tonight. I thought they were fucking brutal. It sounded like they did not give a shit to be there. I don't know about you, but they like brought down the viewing experience for me in a way that like, even when it's not my favorite desks, I'm like, it's still pretty good. Today I was like, people were screwing things up. There was just this laissez-faire attitude that like felt like they just didn't give a shit. Just felt, I don't know if you had those vibes, but I was like, this was particularly, as the wrestling world says, the drizzling shits tonight.
It felt like a little bit sidetracked a lot of times. Yeah, they would go off on little like off topic, things to pop each other. But yeah,
it's like fun when Taz does it, but like, man, Tony Schiavone on a 3-man desk is not it. He's better on a 2-man desk. He's great at in ring interviews. 3-man desk, he's just bad. He's just bad. But I thought they were particularly brutal. There were so many times that they were just like they were acting like, eh, it's a go-home show. And I'm like, you're supposed to be the ones that are selling me on this fucking pay-per-view, though. Like, you're the ones with the voice that is the soundtrack to all of this. Like, I thought they were terrible. I say do a residency in Allentown and let Ian Riccaboni announce everything. But we are coming down the home stretch. Thanks for chatting along with us. We might be out of here before LT Photo turns 21, but we'll do a shot with you in our spirits, in our hearts.
That's our birthday gift to him.
Yeah, there you go. We got our meat match, Joe. Brody King beating Lance Archer. This was a whole heck of a lot of fun. I found Don Callis maybe the best on commentary. The fact that there's people now just continually cosplaying as him is fucking awesome. And he, you could tell, like, had a smile on his face when he was like, it's not flattering. Like, you could hear the smirk in his voice when he said it. But it is just very funny that someone is like, you know what? I'm bald, so I'm going to wear a suit and rose-colored sunglasses or whatever he wears and loafers. But this match was a whole heck of a lot of fun. Not a ton on the line here, but for a go-home show to give us a meat match, to keep Brody King on screen while one tag partner is doing creepy vignettes on the way back to WWE and the other is injured, poor Buddy Matt. I think this is good. Like, I hope they find a story for him soon, but this was perfectly serviceable.
Yeah, you keep Brody on TV, you keep him looking strong ahead of the Owen. You get Lance on TV. I think Cage is out injured, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, he got injured at an indie show, I believe.
So, yeah, as long as you keep him out in the forefront and keep him important as a member of the Callis family, that's nice. So, yeah, nothing really of substance as far as things aren't at stake. But, yeah, it's a fun meat match.
It was a fun meat match. It was a fun meat match. And we're zipping through, man. There's not a ton else to say. It goes so much faster when Ryan's not here. But we're here to talk about Cope and Claudio Castagnoli. So let's do it. I am uninterested in Cope.
This is the match I had the least amount of like notes I made and like watching it. I thought, it feels like a Copeland match. It was a solid match. Nothing stood out to me other than him like taking low blowing Claudio.
Which even that, I'm like, you know what it is? Like, it's already hard for me to buy into a world where Cope is gonna beat Claudio. It's hard for me to buy into a world where anybody beats Claudio because look at him.
He's like, a horse.
He's a human horse, Joe.
Yes.
He's a horse. And then he's a human horse.
The way it ended just felt very abrupt too. To like, I felt like in the match really quick so we can get down to this, you know, the post, the Swerve stuff.
Which had an overrun, so it felt, that was even weirder, but I feel like the problem with the good and the bad with Copeland is he is a ratings draw. He consistently is a very high ratings draw. So I think they try to make those segments long, and I think because he can still go for a guy his age, and I think when he has a good story to tell, he's a really good in-ring storyteller, and I think he's really good at making young guys look good. But, like, tonight he wasn't in there with a young guy. He's against someone I don't buy that you could be all for this to break up rated FTR eventually, but I got to see Claudio Wrestler, so that's a good thing. I hope if they are leading toward Edge and Christian, they're fucking shithead heels. Like, his name is Cope. You know what I mean? Like, go back to the totally awesome whatever, whatever. Like, I don't care. 16 or 17:38 match time. Nah, that ain't it, man. That's why it felt long. It was too long. It was a good 5 minutes too long. But
I feel like
it was what it was.
Copeland loves his long matches. He loves way too long matches, whether it's in the WWE or AEW.
He definitely does. The greatest, longest match of all time was way too long between him and Orton. So there is something to be said about, like, this is something I noticed with Mercedes, is, like, part of why her match with her and Chris was so good is because they're both fantastic wrestlers, obviously. But they just had the time to tell stories both times. Like, they were just given 20 minutes each time to go out there and tear it down. I remember Dijak saying that on the MXM stream, like, if you would only have 7 minutes and the story calls for something with some development, like, this sucks. Like, there's not a lot you can do with it. So I get why Cope likes that, because it gives you time to tell an in-ring story, but 17:38 against Claudio tonight was uncalled for. This is another case where it could have been 5 minutes shorter and we just don't have an overrun. Like, that is plain silly. That is plain silly. But that is all that we kind of have to talk about. We really ripped through this when we don't have the singing pun head at at our disposal, but he will likely be back next week unless he decides to grind up on his coworkers again. But before we get out of here, because it is, wow, it's only 11:30. We got to get rid of Ryan more often, man. But do you have any predictions for the pay-per-view? If you have any title changes or whatever, but, like, any debuts you think we might get, any returns, anything like that, any non-booking surprises that might come our way?
No, I mean, you mentioned the Josh Alexander one. I didn't even think about that. That'd be a fun one.
That's why I'm a fucking professional.
It is. You're just like you're paid to do this. Just not here.
I love doing things that make me sound like I'm fucking, like, any of this is important. That's my favorite thing in the world to do. It's just, listen, fucking, I'm a professional. That's why my internet still doesn't work and I have my earbuds in tonight. Because I'm a fucking professional. With my door open and my dog sniffing something in the kitchen.
But I'm trying to think of any other like returns or like surprises that would pop up.
Joe, when are my Young Bucks coming back?
I don't know. That's always what I think I'm just going to always say that until they come out.
I miss them.
If we're just waiting for the right like creative again. I don't know where they are.
They needed to go away for us to miss them. So I'm glad that they did, because it overstayed its welcome. But it's like between them and Jack Perry, I'm it's got to maybe have something to do with this Okada Kenny stuff. But also I'm wondering too, if maybe Max Caster holds an open challenge and we get Bowens returning, because he's from Jersey, which is not far from Philly. I think he'd probably still get a pretty nice pop, but him getting to answer the open challenge on a pay-per-view, I think would be a nice touch, since it's just people that come out and ruin Max Caster.
We're not going to get the Costco guys, are we?
Are we? I thought we were
safe. Or are we not safe from them?
That's a good question. Are they bringing the boom?
It's awful close to, you know, New Jersey and the East Coast. And
you would think, yeah. You would think they would bring the boom, because it's like an hour away.
0 hour matches.
They main event the 0 hour. I'm here for it. But I will say, both times it's head build. I feel like the next one should be Jericho. Like, I think that's just, like, a good use of, like, who Jericho is as a... Man, Jericho really can't go anymore. That's tough. No boom until All In. Well, damn. Okay. Devastating.
That's a big boom. Everything's bigger in Texas, so that'd be a big boom.
It's true. Boom went my heart. That's sad.
Is there any other off the wall predictions you had besides, you know, Alexander and Bowens? And
I don't think the last round of releases have had their 90 days.
Yeah.
I know that it's like a joke that I'm such a Duke Hudson stan, but I think he would actually fit in very well with AEW because, like, he was on the gimmickiest product in all of wrestling, and whether you love it or hate it is up to you, but NXT is, it's gotten a lot better, honestly, but it's the gimmickiest, especially the time he was there, and he's an incredibly natural talker when you let him talk, and I think he's legitimately 6'5", he has this insane pendulum backbreaker, like, he is a star waiting. So I don't know if his is up because he was released before like the batch of releases that came. Whether they let Cedric come back is certainly something that I think is out there, especially with them like kind of teasing dissension or whatever. But other than that, I don't think so. Gabe Kidd, maybe, like there's some New Japan people that are floating around without contracts. But we'll see. I'm excited for it though. Like the intermittent pay-per-views are fun because they're somewhat story driven, but they're mostly work rate. And this one has like some really fun matches and a great story for the world title, which is the first time we've been able to say that.
Is All In the next one now? After Dynasty's, do you All In?
Double or Nothing?
Okay.
We do Double or Nothing and then All In. That's actually pretty decent because that's between now and August. There's one other pay per view. That's pretty fair. That's pretty fair. Yeah, end of June, I think that is.
Okay.
Double or Muffin. I just looked this up the other day. I'm terrible with this type of stuff. Like when they had quarterly pay per views, I couldn't keep it straight. And now there's 900 of them, and they switched dates from last year because. Mm-hmm. Double or Nothing is May 25th. Okay. And then All In is in July this year and in America. And Forbidden Door is abroad. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot. So
that's why I'm surprised you're getting Ryan to go to a pay-per-view on a school night.
I know. I think because it's in his backyard. I was able to drag him out. So we'll see. But there you go.
Well, we've
ordered... I'm sure I missed segments that are not in my notes, but I did the best I could under my internet circumstances. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the show. Are you going to fly in and hang out with us?
You know, I probably won't.
Yeah.
I can't. I got to pay. Well, there you go. I got to pay Kate $10,000. How am I going to do that if I spend it on travel?
See, you pissed me off. By not coming in, so now you owe me $10,000. That's how that works.
Sounds about right. Can I have Ryan pay you for me instead?
Bro, as long as there's G's in my account, I don't care.
Well, so, just tell Ryan that he owes you $10,000 on my behalf.
I'll send it on the group text with absolutely no context because he didn't get to watch the show tonight. So that'll be perfect. Yep. Thank you guys so much for watching. Before we get out of here. We do have t-shirts that are available at the Mark Order Podcast store on ProWrestlingTees.com. If you look at our background, you know what the t-shirts look like. I'll tell you that much. That's our logos. So we got that. Joe's going to pull up the link here because he's a production master. But the two on the left are single-sided. The two on the right are double-sided. The far right is my favorite design. But I've been saying for months we should freshen them up, and we probably should because... There's a lot of black and white wrestling t-shirts out there. I don't know if you know that, Joe, but
yeah,
we'll get around to it.
They help cover, like, when you're all, like, hot and sweaty and gross in the summer inside an indie wrestling venue that doesn't have air conditioning, you know? You need something to cover up that sweat.
It's true. It's true. If you've been to an indie show, you know exactly what Joe's talking about. So, but before we leave, Joe, you've got cereal. You've got an online presence that is delightful. You've got a dry wit and a fantastic sense of humor. And darn it, if the people don't want more, I don't know what they're thinking. So where can people find you?
Well, if people get really bored, they can find me online at _AsianJoe. And to get even bolder, if that's a word, mm-hmm. you can read my serial review blog, which is in my bio on my social media. I haven't done a serial lately in the last couple of weeks. I have the Magic Spoon one I need to do still.
Both of my co-hosts running from the grind.
A lot of grinding to do out there.
There is a lot of grinding to do out there, but as long as you pay me 10 G's, I'm okay with it. So it is what it is. But you can catch me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media. Probably more on Blue Sky. I'm fucking done with Twitter. So follow me over there. Miss Kate Fabe on Instagram as well. And my YouTube channel, which I keep saying I'm going to get back to. I've been doing a lot more at Fightful. So once I'm through some of the bulk of that work, I will be returning. I wanted to do some Yankee content over there too, now that baseball is back. So hopefully we'll get around to that. I'll definitely be doing a Windy City Riot watch along, because those New Japan Strong watch alongs are a fucking blast. So keep an eye out for that as well. But thank you so much for joining us for our speedy little review today. This was what happens when you don't have some fucking goofball and his stupid accent coming in here being like, oh, I'm not going to be home in time to watch the show. I'll have to sing my late 90s, early 2000s pop songs at you in person on Sunday.
Someone in the chat should just make a little bingo card of all like the Ryanisms.
We should make them for them.
Yeah.
And then they can check them off.
Yeah, whoever's a bingo Ryan should buy them a shirt, a Mark Order shirt.
I like that idea. He's going to be out a lot of money owing me 10 grand, but that's fine. What else, Photo? We didn't, I don't think I can vamp for 23 more minutes. I probably can. That's a fucking lie, but that's sad and a waste of your time. So we're going to wish you a happy birthday right here. Thank you genuinely for always being so wonderful and supportive of what we do here at the Mark Order, for being so wonderful and supportive of the SGS and where I am doing other content. You're such a wonderful person and voice in this space. So thank you for your support, and I hope you have a wonderful year. I hope both you and Second Lieutenant Colonel Photo have a fantastic, fantastic year. I'm assuming you're twins, so I I hope that rules. Asking me a hot take, how do I feel about ZSJ? It's pretty boring, honestly. Like every... Oh, an armbar. Big deal.
I don't think I knew.
I couldn't even get through it.
I didn't think I knew Meet Norman for a Nats fan. Huh.
More like a not fan, because I'm not a fan of those guys. Hi, Meet Normus.
Well, we can't all have a team full of torpedo bats.
It's true. Actually, you can. It's a legal bat. So go order them yourselves. Fucking losers. My favorite was the people that were like, oh, Drudge is hitting these home runs with the torpedo bat. And I'm like, he didn't change his bat. He used the same bat. And his answer was, I think my work speaks for itself, so I didn't switch bats. So I was like, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. But yeah, ZSJ versus Gresham at Bloodsport is going to be insane. So I'll be watching that WrestleMania weekend on top of fucking 15 other shows. But we're gonna wrap it up here. Thank you guys so much for watching. Please do tune in next week. We'll be talking all about the pay-per-view. This is a fun little review tonight. Thank you, Joe, for sticking with me through my internet troubles and not giving up.
Just another Wednesday.
I know. Well, John Cena gave up on all of us, so I appreciate you not giving up.
Well, I will, since Ryan's not here, I'll do the Ryan walkthrough.
Okay. Tell us how you do the outro.
First of all, I go to Media Assets and go scrolling, 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 and I'm still scrolling because I can't find it. There it is. There's the out over. Yeah, I can't even talk now. That's where I'm at with Ryan.
The outro.
And where is our outro music? There it is. Goodbye.
The Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order.